Almighty and loving God, our Heavenly Father, your word in Psalm 103 tells us this amazing truth about what you have done for us. David exclaims, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We come to you, O God, and we thank you, and we praise your holy name with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, realizing that you are a God who has showered your blessings and benefits upon us, as you have forgiven us in Jesus Christ and healed our diseases. We are so thankful, O Lord, that Jesus Christ came down to this earth and lived a perfect life and then offered himself as the only sacrifice on the cross as he died and was buried and risen again. Jesus, we praise you. We have been redeemed, and our life has come from the pit, out of the pit. And you have crowned us with your love, and you have crowned us with your righteousness. Our Heavenly Father, we want to worship and praise you today for all the good things that you have given to us, for every good and perfect gift comes down from your heavenly throne. We realize, O God, that you love us and you care for us. You meet our needs, not only physical, but spiritual needs. You've given us this church to worship you in. We thank you, Father, for that. And we thank you, Father, for all the relationships that we have in our life. We ask that you would help us to love one another, even as Jesus has loved us, as he gave up his life for us. We ask that you would bless our relationships in our families and in our church family. And may we begin each day with the love of God dwelling in our hearts. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless our relationships with those in the world where we work and live and go to school. We ask, Lord, that Christ's love would shine through us so that we can be dynamic witnesses to the world and witnesses of his gospel. We pray, Father, for those in the bulletin today. We think of Walter losing his sister. We ask that you would comfort his heart and his family, that you would continue to be with Rick, Burrell's friend, Lord, who's been hospitalized with health issues. And for Wendy, Ra's daughter, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to help her and bring her to full health. And we pray, God, for the results of good news. And for Grady and Rosemary, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to pray for them and help them, Lord, and just be a comfort and love to them. And we thank you, Father, for all the things you've given to us. And all the parents-to-be that are going to have children soon, I just pray for them and they would have safe deliveries as well. And we also pray, Father, for those in the military, that you would continue to be with them, Lord, and that you would keep them out of harm's way. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you do for us. But we ask for ourselves, Lord, that we would not just be hearers of your word this morning, but that we would be doers, applying your word to our lives so that we leave this place changed people, living for Christ and sharing his love. We also read in Psalm 103:8, Lord, you told us in 8 and chapter in verse 13, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. As a father has compassion on his children, O God, you say, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear them. All we can do, Lord, is just praise you. We can say, Abba, Father, today, realizing we have an intimate relationship with you, O God, because we are your children and you are our Father. We ask, Lord, and all we can say is, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles at this time to Matthew chapter 22. And if you don't want to look in the Bibles, we have it up on the screen as well. I'm going to read it later as well in the sermon, but I want to read Matthew chapter 22, 35 through 40. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray, Lord, as we look at your scripture today, as we have prayed before, that we would listen to your word, that your Holy Spirit would convict us, that we would, Father, in one way or another, practice what we hear today. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings you give us in our lives, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The love of God for sinners is the main theme of the Bible and forms the chief support of the Christian. People who have truly believed on Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord know for sure, without a doubt, that God loves them. It is with such texts as these that every child of God strengthens and comforts his or her own soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Behold, what manner the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, hereby we know love because he laid down his life for us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And greater love than no man had than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It is with these glorious truths that we know that God loves us. And this, my Christian friends, is an amazing truth. When we consider our own sinful natures, how could God love us? How could God love me? Did you ever ask yourself that question? We who were estranged from God through sin, we who were heirs of wrath and subject to the curse of eternal death, we who were excluded from all hope of salvation beyond any blessing of God, slaves of Satan, and yet God, being rich in mercy and love, sent forth his Son. God's Son interceded for his people as their advocate and took upon himself and suffered that punishment that from God's righteous judgment threatened all sinners. Christ, by his life and death, satisfied a holy and just God, so much so that we who were the enemies of God now have become reconciled in Christ, friends of God. And to this, you have to say, and I'm going to ask you to say it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good for Presbyterians. You know, we have to praise God every day of our lives for mercy and compassion and undeserved grace. We did not deserve any of this, but God loved us. God loved us by having Jesus come down and sacrifice his life for us. How could God so love us? You got to keep asking that question. It's a mystery to us, but thus he did by sending forth his Son so that we might live through him. In this is love, John declares, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or satisfaction for our sins. He loved us first is an amazing truth, for we would never have loved God as sinners who were in rebellion against him. If you think about it, that should bring comfort to your hearts this morning, knowing that the infinite God of the universe loves and cares for us even in the midst of even the trials that we go through. He loves us. He walks with us. And I want you to know this truth, that God loves you because you are his child, because you are in Christ. And he knows what you're going through in your life every day. And he loves you. He loves you. This is why the psalmist in Psalm 103 tells us that it is God who redeems our lives from the pit and he crowns us. Think about that. You have crowns on your head now. And what is the crown? Crowns us with loving kindness and love and compassion. And if God loves us this much in sending his Son to save us from the pit, save us from even hell, how much more shall we love others in the church and even in the world? And it is this God-given sacrificial love that we are to display to one another as believers in this world. It is the self-sacrificing love that God showed when he sent his Son for our salvation. It is this agape love that Paul tells us to display to the world in the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace. You might have wondered why I began this sermon on the subject of love of God and not on our own Christian experience of love. But I must propose to you that in order for you to love each other and for you to love the people in the world, you must begin with God, who is the creator of all love. Love doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from God. God Almighty, he taught us how to love. He communicates as one of the communicable attributes that we have, made in the image and likeness of God. Love is one of those. All comes from love. There's a lot of talk about loving one another in this world, but God is never mentioned. How can we love if we ignore the very source of all love, God himself? Look at how the world loves, and it's no wonder that one out of every two marriages end divorced. The world needs to run to the God of love, for he teaches us and shows how to love, and yet people in the world reject the God of love, and they seek love in all the wrong places. I remember growing up and hearing all these love songs, most of the songs you hear on the radio about love. And I never could, I love the Beatles, but what does "she loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah" mean? I have no idea. I guess she loves me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. But sometimes I fear the church adopts the world of love. And all feelings or experience, and a love like that has no real commitment. The world's real love is an abstract love, a puppy love, a love that's very temporary. It's an immature, surface-type love, which is really a selfish love without any real commitment or sacrifice. It's a me love, which is bound to fail because it is a love of non-commitment, a love of no self-sacrifice, and a love that always takes and never gives. Certainly, this is not the love of the Bible and of the Christian. We need to simply get back to the basics about love, and the best way we can do this is to look to our God, who is the source of all true love. For love has its roots in God, and it's this God-given love, the agape love, the same love that Jesus displayed when he unselfishly gave up himself on the cross. I have to say this to you clearly, that every step Jesus stepped on the face of this earth was because he loved his people. He loved them. All the things that he had to go through in his life, by going to that cross, by having his hands pierced and his nail with nails and his feet pierced and a thorn of crown and being mocked, is because he loved us. He loved you. He loves us. This is a love that we as believers are commanded to possess, which comes from the new nature and is called the fruit of the Spirit, love. We all must say this morning that we really haven't measured up in our Christian lives when it comes to loving our family members, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the church, and extended this love as we witness the love of Jesus Christ, the gospel, to the world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can still love each other more. And we still give up ourselves unselfishly to one another even more. And when we do this, we become a dynamic, powerful witness for Jesus in this world. If only we can love one another in this same way that God loves us, by so loving each other that we are willing to give up our very lives for each other. But how is it that we do love one another? I think Jesus gives us a formula in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. And the first way we learn how to love one another, and it's not overcomplicated, is to love God. It's to love God. Jesus gave us a formula in Matthew 22, 35 through 40, for whom we are to love. And it's interesting that he began with loving God. And if God loved us so much by giving us his Son, Is it unreasonable for him to ask us to love him back? I don't think so. We have to love him with our... And I want to read this passage to you again. Let it sink into your hearts more and more. In Matthew 22, 35 through 40. You can look it in the Bible. You can listen to it. But it says, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Jesus tells this lawyer and us as well that the whole duty of mankind is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. All that we are, all that we have, should be committed to loving God. Loving God. Because the Lord is our God, and He's one. We should love Him with our whole being, heart, mind, and soul. And that we do this with all our hearts being fully devoted to our God. Are you devoted to God? Do you love Him as much as you can? That's what it says in the Bible. God loves us fully, for He sent His Son to save us from our sins. And if Jesus gave His all, even His own life in loving us, what should be our response with that same self-sacrificing love? And if we love God in this way, how then can we help but love the children of God? For you see, our personal relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ affects all other relationships we have in life. Let me say it again. Our personal relationship with God and Jesus Christ affects all other relationships we have in life. Christ-centered marriages. How about leading a home where Christ is the head of the home? How about in our church, Christ-centered church? We live and breathe and we love Christ and we want Him to be honored and glorified in this place. How about at work? How about at school? All those places. If you don't have a really deep relationship and love for God, then all these other relationships are going to fall apart. I'm going to say that again over and over again. You see, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that we have the love of God poured out into our hearts by the Spirit. Do you know that? Do you realize that? It's God's love that He gives to all believers so that we can share in word and deed His love with others. The question I have for you is this. Do you have the love of God in your hearts? The only way you can experience and know God's love is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ when He showed His love by going to the cross in His death, burial, and resurrection. We would never have loved God at all, for no one here in this congregation would ever seek God first. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, being rich in mercy, look at the mercy involved in this, because of His great love, and if this is the Ephesians 2 passage, with which He loved us and saved us from our sins. It is only God. It is only when God initiates His love towards us and calls us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we in turn can love God. And how can we truly love God? By keeping His commandments. 1 John 5, 1 through 3, we see this truth. It says this, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We're adopted into God's family. We're born into God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. You see the family connection? This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And then I love this last part, and His commands are not burdensome. If you love the Father, you will love His children. How do you love the Father? You carry out His commands, for His commands are not burdensome. Jesus also told His disciples very similar truths in John chapter 15, when He said in verses 9 and 10, as the Father has loved me, So I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So from these verses, we can see that the best way to truly love one another is to love God and Jesus Christ. And the way we love God and Jesus Christ is by being obedient to his commandments. Take his word. Follow his word. Listen to his word. Apply his word to your lives. And guess what happens? You start developing a deep relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and you start loving him more and more and more, and you become less, and he becomes more in your life. And as you start loving him, guess what happens? It starts flowing out to your spouse and to your children. And those people that come in, they keep saying, oh, he's different. She's different. Why? Because you have that love of God poured out in your heart, and it's flowing out of your mouth. It's flowing out of your life. And guess what? People are going to say, boy, I want some of that. You see, you have to keep this strong. You have to use all the means of grace, of prayer, and word of God. And I don't do it enough. We all need to do it more. We need to be so focused on loving God and Jesus Christ because he loved us first. We are so, think about it. We get so distracted in this world. The devil gets a foothold in our lives every day. We don't want to do this and we don't want to do that. Oh, it takes time. I don't want to give up that. I want to spend more time doing this. All right. I'm not saying all those things are wrong, but it says in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. He's not denying those things to you, but get your priorities straight. Get your priorities straight. To love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind is to be obedient to God's commandments. Now, that is a true definition of biblical agape love. When you demonstrate love in concrete actions. When your love is backed up with deeds. I can say to each one of you that if you are obedient to God's word, which are his commandments, that are not burdensome to you, that you will be in God's will. The only result of loving God by obeying his commands is that you will love each other in your families, your churches, in the world. It begins with loving God, and God has given you the fruit of the Spirit that you already possess by the new nature when you first trusted in Christ. You see, a lot of things happen when we first believe in Jesus Christ. One of the things that happened to us is not only does he forgive us of our sins, we are changed people. We have a new nature. And part of that new nature is this fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy, all these things. It's not something that you go to the market and go, I got to buy love today. Let me go pick up love today. It's something you already have in your life because Christ gave it to you in the new nature. It was a gift. He gives you spiritual gifts. He regenerates you. He places you into the body of Christ. All those things happen to you. And that's one time. But there's something that doesn't happen to you one time. That's the filling of the Spirit of God. That happens many times. When we sin, we need to be filled by the Spirit of God. And as we're filled and controlled by the Spirit of God, guess what happens? All those things flow out of our lives. Love and joy. All those things come out. They can't help but come out in life. And one of the things comes out really clearly is we start loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's first. Then we start loving the world. But you see, loving our brothers and sisters is not an option. 1 John 4:21 states that whoever loves God must also love his brother. The evident result of loving God is loving the children of God. Do you truly love God, first of all? Are you obedient to his word? If you are, you will keep his commandments. You see, if we have a right relationship with God vertical, then it will be easy to have a right relationship with one another horizontal. The problem is when we break our fellowship, our relationship with God, and we sin. How do you feel when that happens to you? Awful. You're like David. You're miserable. Psalm 51, Psalm 32. And once you get out of kilter with your relationship with God, guess what happens? First thing you're going to have is probably an argument with your spouse. or something else is going to happen, or something else is going to happen, because you're just not right. Because if you're a Christian, your first goal, is to love God. It's to serve Him. And that's what I'm talking about. And then love the people of God. Love the people of God. You see, Jesus' formula of love back in Matthew 22:35 tells us that after we love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, then we will be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. But who is our neighbor? Well, Jesus answers this question that a lawyer asked him in Luke 10:29-37, telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. You might recall that a man was going to Jericho, and robbers beat the man and left him for half dead. A Levite came by, and so did a priest, and they noticed him, but they didn't help the man. Then a Samaritan came by, stopped, helped the man, took care of him, gave money to the innkeeper, took care of the man. And Jesus asked the lawyer, after he tells him this parable, which man was the neighbor, and the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy to the beaten man. Now that's love in concrete action, okay? That's what I'm talking about. You know, Jesus said, go and do likewise. We can all make a profession of faith that we have the love of God in our hearts, but if our love is not backed up with actions, then it does not mean anything. Faith really is, the quality of our faith is to be serving God and doing works for God. We're not saved by works. Listen to me, it's clear. We're not saved by anything we do. But once we have that faith in Christ, He changes so much that we want to serve Him. You see, two men passed by the beaten man. They were so-called the religious men of the day. They should have helped him, but a lowly Samaritan came by, showed him the love of God by taking the time to care for this man. He followed what Jesus told his disciples in John 13:34. Listen to this. This is a great verse. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. How do we love one another? Just as Jesus Christ loves us. And how did Jesus love us? He willingly sacrificed His entire life for us when He came down to a sinful world, lived a perfect life, and then shed His blood and died on the cross for us. The Samaritan man willingly sacrificed his time, his resources, and cared for this man. What a witness. What a witness in the world we would have as Christians if we love the people that we come in contact with, this, with the same love of the Samaritan man and the same love that Jesus has for people. We would change, you would see changes in the lives of people all around us, and we would be a tremendous witness, and we show the love of God to people in the world. You know, it's interesting that Jesus, if you look at the end of His life and that great prayer in John chapter 17, there's a lot of things He prayed about for us. But one thing He did pray about in John 17:25-26, He said this, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You have sent Me. I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known in order that the love You have for Me," listen to that, "may be in them," that's His disciples, "and that I Myself may be in them." Jesus Christ prays when He's ready to go to the cross. Didn't He have other things on His mind? No, this is what He prayed about. He said, Jesus Christ prays that the Father's love for Jesus would be the same love that would dwell in our hearts as we are in union with Jesus Christ. How can we love the same way as Christ loved? We seize upon Christ being in union with Him through the Holy Spirit, so that we cannot only love our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also the people in this world. Foundational to all meaningful Christian action is the fruit of the Spirit, love. To love one another is the basis injunction of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was thrilled most with a church that was maturing and growing, and he always thanked God for their love. Peter tells us an amazing verse of 1 Peter 4:8. It says, "Above all, love each other deeply." You notice that? "Deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." Jesus spoke about the new commandment of loving one another. He said this in John 13:35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one another. If you have love for one another. How do people know that you are Jesus' disciples? You demonstrate to people all around you the genuine and the self-sacrificing love of Jesus Christ. And thus you become a powerful witness to the world. But it starts with loving God, doesn't it? Your brothers and sisters in Christ, and then the lost people in the world. How does Paul define love in 1 Corinthians 13? I have to go there because I'm talking about love. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. You see how the commandments come back? Rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. This kind of love never fails. Our motive for doing anything for anyone is this true biblical love. Now maybe I've been talking about this kind of biblical love, and maybe you have said, because I don't know your hearts, God knows them, you've said to yourself, well, I've never experienced this kind of love that comes from God. I know about God, but I'm really not sure who God is, and I'm really not sure if God really loves me. For you see, God's love is demonstrated when he sent his son Jesus into the world to save his people from their sins. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we have a wonderful promise of Scripture. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The question I have for you is, do you know that you have the love of God in your heart by believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? Have you trusted in Jesus, in Christ, as your personal Savior and Lord? Realize this, it's never too late right now to repent of your sins and believe that Jesus came to this earth to live a perfect life. And then he went to the cross, having died, was buried, and risen again to take away your sin forever. He took our sin upon himself as our substitute, as he sacrificed his life for his people. All you have to do is confess to God that you're a sinner, you're sorry for your sin against a holy God, and that you can't save yourself by anything you can do in your own strength, in your own works. Nothing you can do in your own strength can save you. I implore you, if you have a heart that does not know the love of God, does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, I implore you to repent. Be sorry for your sin against the holy God and come to the foot of the cross with empty hands and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord by trusting in him, by trusting in him. And I want you to think about that in your hearts, because I know many of you are Christians, but there might be somebody here that is not a Christian. I would encourage you, if you're not sure, 100% sure that you are a Christian, that you Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and you don't know anything about this love of God, you may have heard it now, you've heard things about it, I invite you to come and talk to one of the elders. And if you made a decision, you want to believe in Christ, then I want you to talk to one of the elders. It's not, you can do it in private, you can just say something, but we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. And if you want to know about Christ more, we can teach you and talk to you about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand that once you make that decision for Jesus Christ, you will experience God's love as you never have experienced God's love before. And therefore, be able to love God. You'll be able to love your new church family in a different way. And you'll love the people in the world. And my Christian friends, do you have this kind of love this morning for gracious and loving God, for your brothers and sisters in Christ, and those you come in contact with in the world? Have you demonstrated this kind of love in your family, in your own family, in the church, and in the world? You see, we need to love God first by keeping his commandments, and then let us live and walk in this agape love each and every day. The result of loving our brothers and sisters is that we will become dynamic witnesses to the world as we follow Jesus' formula of love, which is to love God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourselves. I'm going to close just with one scripture, and I think it sums it all up. Paul talks about, right after he talks about forgiveness and all these other things in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says this, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and then listen to this, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Love as Christ loved you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,